You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Cash, I'm going to pimp you out. Do an impression of somebody starting the show. I'll give you a back thing.
Hi, everybody. I'm Conan O'Brien, and you're listening to Jonah Radio.
It's going to be that kind of party. I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, girl. Out here, just a little bit strange, but
Oh, that's all there is to do these days is to anything else. Okay, thanks for tuning in. I'm Jonah. Dio, can I make it? Cash?
No. Hey, how are you? I'm Cash.
All right, Neil's here.
I could make it.
What are you doing, Neil?
Sitting on my couch. I was just shaking keys at you to annoy you.
You know what? There's so much going on in the world of music that we should just get to our first song, and then we're going to get into it. That sound good to you guys?
I like
that. Sounds great to us, guys.
Yeah. What are we going to do? Get into some pleasantries? Hear about how each other's doing? Fuck that.
Yeah.
No. Fuck that.
No one's doing well.
Yes.
Nope.
Everything's terrible.
Everything is terrible. I wish things were as good as the show. Everything is terrible. All right. Let's just get into it. We're going to play a cover. You know, we love covers here at Jonah Radio. Bully, the song, the band they have an album coming out on Sub Pop, and they put out in quarantine. She put out a little bit of a EP of stuff she recorded then into hyping the new album. And she did About a Girl by Nirvana. And so we're going to listen to that. Be sure to check out Bully. They're a great band. And here's their cover of Nirvana's About a Girl.
To
Right on. Great, great cover. And the new single off that album is also very good. We'll probably play that next week, but the new album is Sub Pop Bully. Great, great band. It is time, I guess, where, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't.
You don't think we should?
What do you guys think?
I mean, we've done it so often that maybe we don't. I'm just saying, like, it's a recent. You just, you know, out of respect for maybe the people that definitely I can't find the.
Who can't you find? Who's a missing person?
The boys are back. The boys are back in town. Oh, it's music news.
Oh, music news.
Who the fuck is this? Because this is the worst version of that song I've ever heard.
That was Bon Jovi.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I searched for The Boys Are Back in Town on Apple Music and added every version. So now I just have a compendium of terrible versions of that song.
Great, great. That's awesome. It is time for Music News, where we delve into the whys and whos of the you-know-whos. This is a special edition.
Where, that sounds very slanderous.
I know.
You know who's.
I refuse to talk about Kanye West saying he's running for president.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah. Neil, please stop trying to put a blanket over yourself, some tarp.
I fucking wiped my mouth with a handkerchief. I don't, what the fuck? Oh, God damn it. I can't wait be back in a regular fucking studio environment.
It won't work. Just don't fidget as much, Neil. It reminds me of if there's, you know, in Ren and Stimpy where they would do those ultra gross close-ups, like that would be the sound effect they would use if that someone was rubbing their face. Or just be like,
oh, wait a second. Oh, wait. It's my fucking headphones have like a microphone attached.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
So I need to do MacBook Pro microphone. How's this?
You sound great though. Don't move. That's
better. Okay, good. Yeah, that is better. So that's the computer microphone and not my fucking Beats by Dre dumb shit headphones.
Neil works with computers for a living.
I create drama for a living.
God. Oh my God. All right. No, we're not talking about Kanye. I don't want to talk about Kanye. Okay, right. Guys.
Yeah, that's fine.
As I sit in my pile of knives and fucking pellet guns.
God. In birthday news, recently,
who?
Ringo's
birthday.
What?
Ringo Starr.
What, Neil?
I said who, and then you said Ringo, and then I said like,
in birthday news, Ringo, and I was in the middle of a sentence.
Could have been that other Ringo.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Whose birthday is it, Neil? Whose birthday was it?
You know whose birthday it was? It was original Shaft. It was his birthday.
No, and music news, Neil. Music news. Just said the name.
Arguably music news.
Neil, you just said the name of the person whose birthday it is. Just say it again.
Pete Best.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
That would suck.
No,
if Pete Best said.
Incorrect. It was actually Ringo Starr. Ringo turned 80, but Pete Best did wish Ringo a happy birthday on Twitter. He said, "Thought about it and thought, why not? Happy birthday, Ringo! It's a special one. Have a good day."
As he goes off to like go work, as he goes off to work at like the post office or some shit.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's like, he doesn't really publicly acknowledge that shit too much. Like, I think he'll like say stuff about Beatles, but I think he like kind of always leaves out Ringo. Because why would, you know, I'm sure Chad Channing, you know, feels the same way about Dave Grohl, you know, or Dale Crover, you know, stuff like that. Which is actually
was Dale Crover like an interim between Channing and Grohl?
Well, it's funny. It's like they had five drummers. They had the, you know, they had
I didn't know they had that
some
many.
People. one of the guys from like Mudhoney, like, you know, he played with him for a little bit, right? But like between Chad, I think, and Grohl, like he was just there for like a show to like fill in for a couple shows, but he didn't know he was temporary. And it's funny because like Grohl just did a you know, did an interview, and like he talked about, he's like, well, when I joined Nirvana, I was their fifth drummer, right? They had a team of drummers before me, and some of them were more, I don't know, like more in the band than others. So when I joined the band, I didn't know Chris or Kurt at all. And when we first met and started playing, it was clear that when we got together to play, that it worked really well. And we sounded what most people now know the sound of Nirvana to be like. But you meet these people, and then it wasn't long. It was almost exactly a year from that time when Nevermind came out. And then once it came out, things happened so quickly, and the band got really big. But every band I had been in before that was with friends that I'd known for a really long time. And so there's some security in that. And yeah. So when you join a band where you don't know anyone, you're just starting to get to know each other, and it sounds great when you play, and there's not a deep personal connection. And then, you know, it's, you're just so nervous that you're going to get either fired or it's going to stop. He's like, yeah. I didn't want to get fired. And so I was just doing my best to keep this thing from going away. And so I had a really insecurity in that with like, I'm not good enough, and they're going to find someone else, which were the rumors. The rumors were that like,
that they were going to Pete Best him.
Well, I mean, he still would have been fine off of playing on Nevermind.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And he still had all those Foo Fighters, you know, songs all kind of ready to go. But it's like there was word that like Kurt, it was like after, you know, it was after the Unplugged session where Kurt didn't like that Dave had such a hard time doing like dynamic, playing with brushes, doing like dynamic stuff where he would get soft. And I guess, and I have the same problem too. It's like when I try to get quiet on the drums, it's like I kind of end up like losing the beat.
Hmm. Yeah.
Cause you're so focused on the sound and not the rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny. It's, it's interesting that like he could have, but Pete Best still like the biggest shaft and to like have to sit there while John everyone Shaft. Made fun of Ringo. Happy birthday. But like to like just watch everybody talk about how Ringo wasn't a good drummer and just be like, but he's in the band. Yeah. It's like it must have been so conflicting for him.
Yeah.
I've heard both sides of that argument where like he's like the best rock and roll drummer. And then I've also heard like, yeah, he's the most basic fucking bitch ever. Like 4/4, nothing interesting, no fills. Like, and
but sometimes people love like there's flash, and then there's like, you know, sticking in the pocket and just knowing when to do something, not to take away. And I think like the reason they probably liked him a lot was because of that, because it's like you had these huge personality songwriters with, you know, Lennon and McCartney.
Yeah.
That like, it's like, you know, I think they just want someone to like, just, it's like, hey, just do the beat, man.
Yeah.
And if I want something more, I'll ask you.
Yeah. Keep time. We're going to do fucking wheelies up here.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I didn't know that fucking Crover ever played with the Nirvana.
Yeah, let me look up Nirvana drummers.
Cause Dale Crover was like one of my favorites. Cause and like when I played drums in my basement in my parents' house, and you know, you have like some friends who like don't ever call you. You just hang out with them. And my friend Paul Joyce called me up and could hear me loudly playing Melvin's beats in my basement.
Yeah.
As my mom was like, yeah, hold on, let me go get him. He's downstairs. And I was like, bah, 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 bah,
bah, bah. So check this out. Former members from 87 to 88, Aaron Burkhard. Then Dale Crover joined from 88 to 90. Dave Foster, 88, Chad Channing, 88 to 90. And so Chad Channing, that's when they did Bleach, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then Jason Everman, I think that's the guy from Mudhoney. Oh, no, he played rhythm guitar, I guess, for a little bit in 89. Wow. Oh, that's right. They were a four piece for like a second.
Funny.
Yeah. That's weird. They don't mention though the because in that Mudhoney documentary I saw, it's like he's like the drummer from Mudhoney was just like, yeah, they like I played a couple shows, and at one of the shows they had him there for like a photo shoot, and then like and at one of the practices like Grohl was hanging out. I guess it's like they had already like called Grohl out, but there was like an amount of time where they still had a couple shows booked, and so
wow.
Yeah. This is rough justice.
Rough justice. In sad news, depending on where you stand politically, Charlie Daniels, the devil went down to Georgia, has died of a stroke at the age of 83. He was a country music hall of famer. He could play that fiddle. He could play that fiddle, couldn't he?
I think so. I never knew if he was a fiddle guy.
I don't know. I don't know really for sure. Neil, what are you doing?
I'm making fart noises with my hands.
Well, what about everything else?
I'm not doing anything. God, I swear to God, I'm just laying on my couch. I'm not doing a fucking goddamn thing.
Are you moving around at all?
No, I'm not doing anything.
Neil, do you see when you're not talking and you still see the sound wave stuff going on?
Is my air conditioning on or something? Like
no.
No?
No.
I don't know. Maybe there's all like right. birds outside or something.
It's not Neil. It's for the here's the thing about Charlie Daniels is that he was an outspoken conservative. In fact, literally until his last day, he was tweeting about 9/11, Benghazi, abortion, and the Illuminati.
That's how you want to go out, I gotta say, is crazy as fuck.
Yeah. How about the adverse side of this? One of the last tweets that Carl Reiner ever put out was about the gratitude he had of marrying an amazing woman and giving him some great kids, and that he's very happy with the life he's led.
He was like 93.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the kind of stuff that Charlie Daniels would have came to realize if he lived another 10 years is gratitude.
Yeah.
The devil threw that contest. When Charlie Daniels died, I literally sat there and was like, all right, I know the devil goes down to Georgia. Do I know any other songs? And I had to look it up. And I knew one more song by Charlie Daniels.
Which one? What was it?
It was... God. All right. I didn't know it very well.
Well, I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, it's, that was he, one of the... He wrote some great like old school country songs. That were very, old.
Racist.
Yeah, a little racist. Oh, he definitely, no, that's David Allan Coe. David Allan Coe definitely used the N-word in a song. He was like a worse David Allan Coe.
I had never heard of David Allan Coe until I moved to Maryland. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's like a staple. Everyone knows about this guy. And I listened to the songs. I was like, are you guys sure that we should be listening to this? like, this is not cool. This is like on par with like all the racist punk music that I, had to like
have tattooed on my body. Yeah.
No, that I had to go like, oh, it was like. Fun the first time I listened to it, and then you had to like investigate the lyrics and go like, oh shit, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I guess I can't listen to Screwdriver anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get into the idea of like, oh well, people who collect vinyl have Screwdriver 7-inches that are worth hundreds of dollars. And it's like, well, do you want to trade in that market or do you just want to just throw it on the fucking barbecue?
I think I've said this before, but I think it was Noise, which was a record store in Orange County. They had like a Screwdriver bootleg stuff and like white power, like punk, but like they kept it behind the counter And so guys knew they had it, so they would have to come in and ask for it. And then within the crate for them to flip through it was a bunch of black gay porn.
here's another death Charlie Daniels. Did you know he did session work backing Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen? Leonard Cohen.
Oh.
Yeah.
But no Leonard way. Cohen is,
And then in 2014, they surprised fans with a spirited collection of... He did a Dylan cover album as well in 2014.
Oh. Crazy. He actually got covered by Elvis.
Oh, really? Long-haired country boy was the one I was thinking of. And then he did Vietnam vet song called Still in Saigon, which is another one that I remember.
Yep.
Long-haired
country boy.
Country boy.
Long-haired country boy. That's just like saying, yeah, he's a hippie, but he all right. Yeah.
Well, there's David Allan Coe has one called, I can't remember it, but my long hair covered up my redneck. It's about going and playing and hippies come to see him and they get their ass kicked by rednecks and stuff like that. There's a whole like, I don't know what I am. I don't like black people, but I like weed, redneck era country music.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Recently also who died is Ennio Morricone. Famous composer, music done for movies for many years, like, you know, like all that kind of stuff. He also did stuff for Hateful Eight, The Untouchables.
That pretty much explains it. He embraced the synth like no one else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But he also, but it's like if you've ever, like, the first time I've ever, like, really heard a Morricone song was a Turns Out when I went and saw Metallica, my first concert, because since 1983 they've been using Neil, stop shuffling around.
Did you fart with your hands again?
No, I did. It's not the farting in the hand. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Neil like farting on Metallica. It's just the shuffling around is
I'm not shuffling. I swear to God.
Look at your sound wave.
I'm not moving. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Maybe there's a bird in my house. All right. Now I'm shuffling. I'm getting farther away from the microphone.
Yeah, that actually sounds a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Look at me.
Yeah, there's no shuffling sound anymore.
Fucking sound engineer over here.
Anyway, if you've ever seen Metallica... you've heard them play before they come out. Since 83, they've been used their intro, The Ecstasy of Gold, which is this song. You can play a little bit of that, Cash. And this fucking gets people pumped up. Like, when I was seeing them, it was like, you know, the Black Album, and everyone, like, goes crazy when this comes on, and then they all start, like, singing to it. And so it's just a crowd of people going like, yeah, yeah! And it really gets you excited.
It is a
I'm getting pumped up right now.
Yeah. But it's from, I think, Fistful of Dollars. I think. Shit, I thought I had that.
I saw Metallica, like, Theater in the Round tour, like, probably 96, 97.
Yeah.
Did they do this
then?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I want to get on a horse.
Hey,
gonna take my horse, gonna make it cold.
All right. Anyway, so yeah, many more songs than that, but rest in peace, Metallica. Metallica said, I have sang that melody thousands of times to warm up my throat before hitting the stage. Thank you, Ennio, for pumping us up, being a big part of our inspiration, and a bonding between band, crew, and fan. I will forever thank you as part of the Metallica family.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. 500 films he did compositions for. 500 films.
Wow. And on top of that, our close friend, Peter Atencio, named his son Ennio.
Exactly.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Who directed Keel and directed a lot of Twilight Zones and yeah. Good dude. Good kid.
Speaking of Italians, Trump recently announced that he wants to build a statue of Frank Sinatra as part of his National Garden of Heroes. and then in response, which is pretty great, in response, Mia Farrow tweeted, "Frank Sinatra would have loathed Donald Trump." And then doubling down, Nancy Sinatra says, "He actually did loathe him."
Oh, yeah. I read about this because, like, was it Trump tried to hire Sinatra and then didn't want to pay him or something like that?
He wanted him to play in one of his casinos in Atlantic City. And like it's here's the story. It's like Trump and Frank Sinatra in 1990. Sinatra's manager Elliot Weissman. Sinatra had been booked to open Trump's Atlantic City casino, only to be informed at the last minute that Trump sought to renegotiate Sinatra's rate. Trump also canceled his booking of Sinatra's longtime friend Sammy Davis Jr., who had just been diagnosed with cancer at the time. After hearing about Trump's 11th hour ploy, Sinatra allegedly told his manager to tell Trump to go fuck himself.
I like your Sinatra impersonation.
Hey, go fuck yourself, dopey-do, Trump. basically, my Sinatra impression is just our friend Matt Dwyer's Sinatra impression. Dopey-do. I was traversing weird stuff on metalinjection.net and found this guy on YouTube has been making Trump mashups where he just has Trump like singing different metal songs, and he's done, of course, like Metallica songs and stuff like that, but he did one of Rage Against the Machine that I find very funny.
Kill him in the name of. Some of those that work forces
are the same that burn crosses.
Some of those that work forces
are the same that born crosses.
Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Ooh! Kill me in the name of.
The ooh is the best.
Yeah.
Kill me in the name of.
Oh, God, that's
okay, that's a good part. Oh
I'm sorry.
Tell me.
I can't fast forward it, otherwise I'd do it again.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured. but yeah, and it's what's crazy about that is if you watch the video, every time like he gets it's they're from different locations every single time. That's why they all had a different sound to him. And like one of them is like forces. And he does that kind of lean. It's like when he does his dumb fucking lean.
Oh.
But that's fun. And speaking of Rage Against the Machine, recently, there was a guy that just like finds like old hardcore stuff on his YouTube channel, Hate56. He has like a great on YouTube, #5SIX, Hate56. He finds great old like hardcore band footage and puts it up on his page. And he recently came across footage of not Inside Out, which was like the original hardcore band that Zach De La Rocha was in and sang for, but the guitar, the band he played guitar for, Hard Stance. It was like their last show. It was in 1990, like a year later. It's a really just great standard kind of late 80s, early 90s hardcore. What's kind of neat about it is it's like when you watch it, you can, you know, he's just a guitar player, so he's not really talking, but you can really hear like that he's getting ready to like do something different. So just like here, just take a listen to.
Set goes out to all my friends, the Sloth crew that made me feel really good.
Yeah.
So we had a good time last night. Whole set goes out to my friends in the band. Everyone here, I'm really miss. Song's called Foundation.
Come on.
Hardcore.
Come on.
Foundation of my Sloth.
So yeah, clearly he was just ready to go with Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, he was very, very, very ready to go. So something I found out this week. Can I save it? Yes. I was listening to the Run the Jewels, and I was like, this Zach De La Roca song is great. I remember this Lyricist Lounge CD he was on. That was a good one. So I looked up Zach De La Rocha on my iTunes, and I found a album called Trace Presents MTV Unplugged, Los Tigres del Norte and Friends. And Zach De La Rocha guested on a Los Tigres del Norte song. Called I think it's called Somos Más Americanos, and it's fucking you gotta love it.
Oh great, I'm glad we can listen to it in high fidelity.
Well, it's just I want to give you that. That's him. He sang in Spanish. It's pretty great. And it's just, it's a straight up Oompa 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 song. He's got so much culture is what I'm saying.
I can't wait to hear it.
What was that Howard Kramer joke about how the worst thing that Germans ever did was introducing the accordion to Mexican culture?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And John Mulaney had that thing where it's like, this is the most annoying sound in the world kind of thing, which is very offensive. Canceled. All right, we're going to take a break with some ads and a song. Song is submitted to us by Neil. Neil, you really just got to sit still, bud.
This is worse than being on jury duty.
You were an alternate on jury duty.
Twice.
All right, we're gonna take a break with a song let's do Bashful. Let's do the song Boston Shitter, because that's what how I feel about Neil right now. Let's do a song Bashful by Boston Shitter. Yeah.
Strange candy shed when I went and wished I left.
guys, Harry's. How much could you save in 1 year by switching to Harry's razors? Enough to buy 26 cups of coffee in New York City, enough for 3 deep dish pizza dinners in Chicago, or enough to pay for 6 months of your Netflix subscription? How? Well, Harry delivers high-quality razor blades as low as $2 each, a fraction of the price of the leading brand, and saving you hundreds of dollars over time. I love Harry's. I've been using their kit to shave down before I go and put on my mask. Everybody's wearing a mask these days. You should be, at least. And sometimes a little facial hair can get in the way, make it a little harder to breathe. Well, you can get a Harry's trial set if delivered right to your doorstep by going to harrys.com/Jonah. Why should you give Harry's a try? Well, Harry's is a return to the essential. Quality, durable blades at a fair price. Just $2 per blade, made in their German blade factory that's been honing precision blades for a century. Harry's is super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule, with or without a subscription. Harry has all of your grooming needs covered. You can get blades, hair care, shower products, all on harrys.com. And feel a little better about your purchases. Not only is 1% of proceeds set aside for nonprofit organizations devoted to helping provide access to better mental health care for men and veterans, but to help support those who need it most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. Listeners to this show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Jonah. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Jonah and start saving today. Hey guys, it's Cash, here to talk to you about Keeps. Did you know that 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35? The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have hair left. You can get treated with Home. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online, very important these days, and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits. Keeps offers generic versions of their medication, of the only true FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but you've probably never tried them for this price. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments can take up to 4 to 6 months or more to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month, plus for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/radio to receive your first month of treatment free. That's keeps.com/radio, radio. All right, guys.
All right, thanks. We're back. The song you heard before was Boston Shitter. Great stuff. If you want your music featured on this show, email it to us, jonahradio, R-A-Y-D-I-O, @gmail.com. Also, maybe if you want, hey, just send a tweet over to us. Email to personal, too much of a big deal. Send us a tweet, jonahradio, R-A-Y-D-I-O, @jonahradio on Instagram. Our good bud, Dan Angler, will be the one fielding those for us. Shout out to Dan Angler, who is fantastic associate producer. I've done more for the show in the few months he's been working with us than Neil has the entire time. Fuck you. Oh, buddy boys. Pussy Riot back in the news. They're sharing a new song that is inspired by the Black Lives Matter movement. They did it with electronic Berlin based artist IXXF. They're working on a new thing, and I've heard some Pussy Riot stuff before, and I've never been too much of a fan, but this thing is actually I really, really dug it. It's crazy and all over the place. Let's take just a little bit of a system. Hate the hate and my religion. All right. That's brutal. That's a brutal fucking song.
There's another crackdown coming in Russia now that Putin's been elected. So some of them got arrested earlier this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was like a dude that was like affiliated with those guys. Those gals.
Yeah, but yeah, there's so look out for your Russian friends.
Like, kicked down his door and like they like kicked down his door at like 6 a.m. and then just held him for like days.
Oh God. Soon enough, that'll be America.
It already
is. But not the UK. Because they just announced that there's going to be the Virgin Money Unity Arena. It is the first socially distanced music venue in the UK, and it is opening up this summer. Apparently, this venue was created in partnership with the people behind This Is Tomorrow Festival, SSD concert, Virgin Money. But Virgin Money is such a it's just
yeah, it really is.
It's like. We just have, it's like no LL, like no, it's like Infinite Ideas Corporation, just money.
It's that ding dong. What's Branson. His name with the fucking islands? Richard videos? Branson. Yeah,
Branson. Yeah, but the shows that will be kicking off in August, and it's in Newcastle in the UK, and some of the bands: Supergrass, The Libertines. That's some good stuff. Two Doors Cinema Club, Maximo Park. It's a lot of people playing. And then a Bill Bailey, from Black Books and, Hot Fuzz. And yeah, he's kind of a comedy actor, musician guy. He's going to be there as well. So it's,
who is he in Hot Fuzz?
Very exciting. Nobody Tells Me Nothing.
Oh,
the guy at the front desk.
The like kind of bad
vague
cop.
Twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's two of them and like, they're never, it's like, you don't really realize that towards the end.
What does it say anything? It's going to be a socially distant venue. Does it say anything like how they're going to do that?
So it looks like, let's see here. It doesn't really say any specifics. It just kind of just talks about how excited they are of this project. But there's a image that they posted and it just kind of looks like these, this grid of platforms, little platforms with about 3 to 4 people on each one. And the platforms are about like what looks to be like maybe about 2 feet off the ground and then about probably like 10 feet away from each other. And they're kind of in these big kind of squared off chunks. We'll see if that's the way, but everyone in the drawing is standing up and putting their hands up in the air. Everyone seems to be having a good time already. So
that's the key, is draw it like it's fun.
Yeah.
Draw it
like it's fun. And then people will die. Yeah.
Yes. That's like, that would be the kids bot version of drop it like it's hot.
Draw it like it's fun.
Speaking of like kids bop and stuff like that, this guy, the O'Keefe Music Foundation, which is a place that like helps kids, get into music and stuff like that. And they usually have like teenagers play music, but then every once in a while they'll have like a little kid doing the singing. And recently I found there's some online that are really fun. There was one kid doing Metallica, which was really cute. But here's one where it's a 9-year-old kid. Like all like 15, 16 are the guys playing the music. But this was in Wesley's Pub in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it's a 9-year-old kid singing Walk by Pantera. All right.
I will say that is the most I've ever understood Pantera lyrics.
Call yourself a friend.
Yeah, it was, and the thing is, he got a lot of the vocal, like a lot of that stuff, like in there. It was a really, really good job. I really liked it.
That was the theme song to like a snowboarding after school show that I used to watch when I was like in eighth grade.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, okay, wow. Pantera's cool. Let me figure out how to find Pantera.
I loved Pantera growing up. Really, I mean, I didn't I only really liked like Cowboys from Hell and then Vulgar Display of Power. Like, I didn't like Far Beyond Driven. It's like, and then I realized, I go back, I'm like, oh, I only really like a couple songs and things.
Yeah.
And then also,
the later years were problematic.
Yeah, exactly.
Confederate flags and such.
Yes, exactly. It's about heritage. It's about states' rights. Guys, speak of someone that likes a Confederate flag would not be into, New Yorker Martin Scorsese to co-direct a documentary on the New York Dolls singer,
really?
David Johansen, also known as Buster Poindexter.
I've seen him like twice, and he's an amazing musician. I never saw him do Buster Poindexter stuff. I will say that. He was...
Everybody's hot,
he did an album called David Johansen and the Harry Smiths, which was a bunch of folk covers. It was that thing that... You remember Henry won that Grammy for designing that box? Henry Owings, friend of the show, designing that box set, which was... all the Alan Lomax recordings, like all of the like folk and blues songs that this guy did in like the early teens and 20s and stuff like that. And there's just an album that's just David Johansen doing all of those songs, and it's fucking great. It was,
oh wow,
it came out in the really cool 2000s, and then I saw him live a couple of times on that, and it was great.
Yeah, wow. For those who don't know, David Johansen, the cabbie,
yes,
from Scrooged.
He's like he literally looks like Tom Waits light. Like, his voice isn't quite that that gravelly, and his face isn't that rough.
Oh, you mean Tom Waits Waits Don't Tell Me?
Oh no.
Oh, sorry, it's not a docket in your pocket like you fucking posted in the text chain.
I'm so glad that the audio broke up and I didn't hear whatever you said.
It's okay. I was just shuffling around constantly in my seat, uncomfortable in my own skin.
Well, that's what we do these days. David Johansen had a bunch of other movie roles, like not just Scrooge.
But I,
like,
yeah.
What else?
I mean, so much that we can't even recall and count.
I'm fully blanking.
Let's see. He was on Late Night with David Letterman. He was in Let It Ride.
Oh yeah, that famous movie Let It Ride that everyone knows about.
Neil, you're the one that said he was in a ton of famous movies.
I thought he was. Fucking A. Sorry.
He was in Oz.
I don't know.
He was in
All right, moving on. We are moving on.
Good call.
Okay. Well,
Dave, speaking of,
I knew him as an actor. I knew him as an actor before I knew that he was in the New York Dolls and whatever.
Oh, what was the first movie you saw him in?
Scrooge.
Oh, okay. The one I mentioned. All right, great.
Yeah, but I thought that there must have been others.
He did six episodes of Saturday Night Live.
I can't fucking win today.
Let It Rise. Academy Award nominated, Let It Rise.
Ride.
It's noon and I have BO. fucking can't win today.
I don't know if we're still doing drops, but there's one. He's in Free Jack.
Free Jack, there you go.
That's the one that I was... Because everyone's seen Free Jack.
Yeah, Free Jack with Emilio Estevez playing the race car driver and the time traveling villain,
Mick Jagger,
played by Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger, yeah.
Yeah. Mick Jagger's been in other movies.
Performance.
Cash, look them up.
Please don't.
Dave Chappelle, who's another Dave, I know. Dave, we know. he hosted a socially distant 4th of July music festival, and he had he's some kind of just like how we did with the, his 846 stand-up special. It was a pretty good lineup. Erykah Badu, who actually ended up singing Smells Like Teen Spirit amongst her songs. Common was there. Talib Kweli was there. So was and stand-up from Michelle Wolf, Tiffany Haddish, Michael Shea, and Chappelle. And then also Questlove was there to play music to the fireworks display. And Chappelle with John Hamm worked the crowd. Erykah Badu sang Smells Like Teen Spirit. Chappelle covered Radiohead's Creep. And then Hamm sang Journey's Don't Stop Believing. What?
That is the weirdest combo ever.
John Hamm. Yeah.
Isn't that weird? But I guess they all got tested. Like that was kind of the requirements. You had to like, it's like you couldn't show up even to the event unless you were tested and free and clear. So there you go.
That is,
I feel like
you want everyone to be wearing a mask. You know, everyone should be wearing a mask out there.
Yeah.
If not for yourself, for the people you love. And someone recently put up a PSA about wearing a mask. And here is Vance Cotrolas. Anyway, this is here's a guy's PSA about wearing a mask.
Since I play in a folk band, my friend Don suggested that I write a song encouraging people to wear masks. And so my daughter and I worked something up, and here we go.
Wear masks are difficult. It's a virus, not a vote. Wear masks, don't be a joke. We are not a Trader Joe's. We have masks on Halloween. We're not on July 17th. It's not a complicated act to keep your neighbors alive.
Okay, alright. You get it. It's a virus, not a vote. Wear a mask, don't be a chode.
I love it. I'm gonna see if we can put that on the PA at work. Yeah. Or just for when somebody comes in not wearing a mask, if we can follow them around with a boom box like we're fucking Lloyd Dobler.
That'd be fucking great. Yeah, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole of weird stuff on YouTube, like I said. And one of the things I found is there's this guy, Funk Turkey, on YouTube. And what he does is he takes a band's entire lyrical output and then puts it into a computer and then asks an AI to write new lyrics using all of those words. And he's done like a bunch of different ones. Like Metallica and stuff. And then like, but it's funny because you realize it's like that these bands just kind of like have, you could like how almost easy it is to parody themselves with their own words. And the one I like that I found is that he had a bot write an AC/DC song. So here's AI/DC with the song Great Balls.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm gonna ride on the dog and touch too much.
I like how he's going to shoot at the trigger.
The dog a truck, because I'm just on. I'm on you. Shoot to fire at will. Yeah, because I shoot to shoot my gun at the trigger. It wasn't the lights. And put your hand out to kill. You fool around, you women, with too many pills. Yeah. She got great balls and big balls. Too many women with the balls. Seems like a bone given the balls. A whole lot of woman, because I'm a ball. But yeah, and he has tons of others, and I highly suggest checking out Funk Turkey on there. But that was a fucking, that was one of my favorite AC/DC songs.
We gotta put together a cover band, man. Just do the AA.
Yeah.
Also, check out AC/DC and find out how much they talk about balls.
Yeah.
Well, I think the song "We've Got Big Balls, She's Got Big Balls, But I've Got the Biggest Balls." That kind of, once you put that in, that sort of ups the numbers. When every other word is balls, that's gonna bring up your average.
Yeah. Yes. Recently, the information came out about which companies received the PPP loans, the Paycheck Protection Program. On there, Slipknot, they got some. Papa Roach, Tool, Sammy Hagar's Red Rocker Touring Company.
Papa fucking Roach?
The thing is, and some of these got like $150,000 to $350,000. Lil John got it. And like when people ask him, they're like, do you need this? But like he kind of responded with like, I think that's the case for a lot of these. It's like, I have 70 employees who like are out of work now because of like touring getting canceled. And so like apparently, hopefully these bands that are like kind of helping their crews.
Yeah. Hopefully that's
right.
What it is, and it's not these guys taking the paychecks that they would get for selling out an arena.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, and also I think England just passed something that where there a lot of independent music venues and arts arts companies or things. Arts community stuff, based stuff, they can apply for loans now so they don't have to close down. Something that is not looking good for a lot of small independent venues in America, like Cat's Cradle in North Carolina, which is like they're doing a North Carolina like tribute album, like a bunch of bands like covering songs just to raise money to try and keep their space.
Yeah, I saw something on Twitter that was about trying to save all those like indie venues, like, you know, like TT the Bears in Boston or, you know, whatever, like all these small venues that are just like, oh no, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, exactly. A very funny story that just came out. NME talked about this. Liam Gallagher drove a combine harvester, which I think is like a, I'm not really sure what that is. You know what that is, Neil?
Yeah, it's like a
lawnmower.
It's like a giant lawnmower, but it's like a thresher. It kind of like goes through crops and then kind of saves the crops and then doesn't keep the thresh, the stalks,
yeah,
whatever.
Okay, so I guess when they were recording Definitely Maybe, Liam and Bonehead heard that the Stone Roses were recording nearby at Rockfield Studios, and so they wanted to just go and try and catch a glimpse of their Manchester rivals. And Liam said, "We went to have a fucking little snoop. It was right. What the fuck are they up to? They hadn't been doing anything for 3 years. So I'm about a proper combine harvester. ones you got to get a ladder to get up to. It's miles up. Off we fucking go, crawling down the road with big fucking lights on. It looked bonkers. We drove it in, turned the lights off, and rolled out like something out of The Professionals. And after they arrived at the studio, they were caught, and then they were invited in for a chat. He's like, we can hear some fucking bass line and drums. We got caught. We went in and we had a little chat. We might have had a spliff, and then that night we fucked off. And then they came over the next day. But like, I like how that's just what a weird fucking time. And like just dudes from Oasis going to try and sneak a peek on what the Stone Roses are doing by driving a fucking tractor trailer.
We'll creep up on them in this 7.5 ton thing.
Yeah.
That we don't know how to drive. Also,
yes.
It's got like a fucking 7 gear system and you're like punching clutches and like,
That is it for music news for now. We're going to take a break with a song. This is a track that was submitted to us by the cassettes. Actually, you know what? No. Let's do, we'll play that last. Let's do, this is a Dude's Night Out. This is a band called Dude's Night Out. And this is their song called, oh shit, wait a minute. It's from a split. So this might be either Dude's Night or Horror it's Squad.
Called, is it the one called
anyway, Ken this Griffey is a song Jr. Called Rookie Ken, Card? This is a song called Ken Griffey Jr. Rookie Card. And we'll be right back with more radio. And that was that band was the name of the band was Horror Squad, and they're from Pomona, California, where I'm actually going to be driving out tonight to go see a double feature of Ooh. Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Evil Dead. Very much looking forward to that. Brought to you by Beyond Fest. That was the song Ken Griffey Jr. Rookie Card. Off of a split they did with a band called Dude's Night. Now, so last week, we talked about how, you know, the Dixie Chicks changed their name, to the chicks, and a lot of people are starting to do that. One of them being Lady Antebellum, just to be a little bit more woke and socially aware. Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A because the Antebellum South is not anything to really celebrate. So Lady A, but it turns out there was a another musician with the name Anita Lady A White. And now she is being sued by Lady Antebellum because the band claims to have had that patent since 2011, even though they never fucking used it. I don't know what that band sounds like, but you know what? Yep. Fuck off. Just fuck the fuck off. But with that, with that news of Neil had a great run, great classic. Now, I wouldn't say classic because that would be like it happens all the time. Neil had this crazy moment of just being really funny and on top of it and more prepared than any of us with his versions of woke band names. Our good pal Dan Byerly, sometimes contributor to the show, really great guy, really, really funny guy. But he had a bunch that he wrote as well. And Neil's going to now present those. Neil,
okay,
give us Dan Byerly's woke band names.
Dan Byerly, not a stockbroker, submits. Alice in Chains becomes Alice in a leadership role.
Nice.
Deftones becomes hearing impaired notes. George Strait becomes George Sexuality is a Spectrum. Godsmack becomes non-denominational comeuppance. Fine Young Cannibals becomes pleasant millennial vegan.
Wait, what?
Fine Young Cannibals becomes pleasant millennial vegans.
Nice.
Guns N' Roses becomes roses, just roses, okay? The Police becomes the Dorks.
Yay! All cops are dorks.
This one's clutch. Bush becomes Gore.
That's great. I hope that's I hope the last one is better than that, because that's great.
Oh no, there's like 17 more.
Then run through them, Neil.
I'm trying to. Okay, Boys Don't Cry. I guess that's a Cure song, right?
Neil, just go through it. Just say what's on there.
Okay, Boys Don't Cry becomes Men Expressing Feelings. The next one's too long to read. KMFDM is still KMFDM, but it now stands for Keep Me Ma From Dying, : Masks.
Neil, do you want me to do the rest?
Do you have the
Man becomes non-gender specific person. Moby becomes, I don't know, maybe don't name yourself after a book about killing whales, you weird little creep. Tesla just adds not affiliated with Elon Musk in parentheses at the end of their name. Nine Inch Nails becomes Nine Inch Reusable Metal Straws. Arrested Development becomes Arrest the Cops Who Killed Breonna Taylor. Presidents of the United States of America becomes Presidents, except for whichever one you hate. Culture Club becomes Cancel Culture Club. And Black Flag becomes Black Square on social media. Those are fantastic. Thanks, Dan. Great job.
Great job, Dan.
Great job, Dan Byerly.
I will defend Moby that he's related to whatever that guy's that
maybe Moby just did. Call it asshole relative. All right.
Okay. Better name, man.
Wait, hold on. Moby related to Herman Melville?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's like his grandson or something.
Yeah, Moby was born Richard Melville Hall on September 11th, 1965, in New York City, and raised in a suburb of Connecticut. His nickname, which he has had since he was a baby, is based on the novel Moby Dick by his great-great-great uncle, Herman Melville. Well, what do you know?
There you go.
Well, that's it. That's a little more, you know, segment there. Neil, thank you so much for reading those. Dan Byerly, thank you so much for sending those. Those were fantastic.
DBs.
Yeah, Dan Angler, thank you so much for everything you do. If you want your music on the show, Jonah Radio, R-A-Y-D-O at gmail.com. Send us an impression. Send us a station ID. Send us a, like a weird voicemail. Send us stuff. Like we'll play it. Dumb shit. Any weird shit you find on the internet that you think is funny, send it to us. Yeah. Either tweet at us or email it to us.
Yeah.
Send me a new microphone.
Maybe just some I don't know if it's the microphone, Neil. Cash, thank you so much for doing everything you do. And thanks to the Scarborough Country for being the host of our podcast. It's a great network. Check out the other shows on there. Also, the opening song is a Little Bit Stranger by Toys That Kill. And we're going to end now with a submitted track. This is a real fun one. It's got a nice little like 80s rock, but also like it's got Huey Lewis doing pop.
Wow, that's
like actually the only way I could really describe it. It's a lot of fun. It just seems like something Tony Thaxton would love. Our friend Tony Thaxton, Bizarre Albums. I don't know why I went into a bit of a Ira Glasser. Tony Thaxton, Bizarre Albums, available wherever you get podcasts.
This is cassettes, yeah, right?
That's it. Cash, anything you want to say?
Okay.
Yes.
No, I love you all, including you, my wife, who just walked in.
Okay, Neil? Hey, Neil, you need to say anything?
I love Cash's
Neil loves
wife.
You.
Aww, Neil.
She just said she loves Neil. Neil. All right, we got to end this because I got to go have a talk.
You have to have your post-show poop. All right, this is Cassettes. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Goodbye.
I wanna know what kind of car